Hi, this is David Boyer, and I work with the KALW News Department, and I just wanted to let you know that we're in our spring membership drive. We are a listener-supported radio station, and you can help us out by going to KALW.org.
KALW.
While growing up in the Bronx, writer Gabby Rivera would sit at her grandmother's dining table, listening to stories from her sheroes, the women in her family. Gabby infused elements from her own life into America Chavez, Marvel Comics' first queer Latina superhero with her own series. And she's bringing more stories about Latinx identity and the LGBTQ community to other projects. KALW's Janae Darden sat down and geeked out with Gabby Rivera.
First, my dad's mom just was like the matriarch on my dad's side of the family. She was always so well put together. She ran her own businesses. She taught herself English. She worked her way up from cleaning washerwoman to like head teacher at a school. Like my grandma was it, okay? And around her table, it was almost like a royal table, you know? She always had it set. She always had it ready. And it was always my aunts, my titis, my grandma, and like my mom and everybody gathered and telling stories, and telling big stories, you know, about how they were taking on the neighborhood and who messed with them at work and what their plans for, what this man did to them, what they were going to do about it, you know. But there was always so much power, and they were always so animated and so vibrant and full of life. And I would just sit there quiet as the day, you know, hoping that they wouldn't tell me to go clean something, you know, and just be in awe listening to them.
And you absorbed that.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. How could you not? Also, like, little nerdy me wasn't running outside playing, you know, like I was inside, like, reading and just trying to have fun in my own little quiet way. And so being a part of that and listening to them was what I aspired to be. I wanted to be like them. I wanted to hold court like that and have everyone listening and sharing at my own table one day. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which has come.
Oh my goodness.
To be.
Yeah. A little bit.
So, and I was also listening to your TED Talk, which was really, really, really good. And you said you didn't feel powerful when you were growing up. Why?
Oh my goodness. I mean, I didn't feel very powerful. I got picked on a lot. I feel like a lot of people got picked on a lot, but I got picked on a lot in middle school and elementary school, you know, chubby woman, girl, you know, whatever, like not fitting in, tomboy. Also, I grew up in a very like strict religious household, Pentecostal, Protestant, evangelical. And so I was just scared of a lot. I was scared of the evil and the demons everywhere, right? And I was scared of breaking rules and disobeying my parents, and I was scared of not being the perfect Latina daughter.
I'm hearing some of the things you're talking about growing up, and I'm thinking about your YA novel, Juliet Takes a Breath, right? And those were some of the issues that she was dealing with. And
totally.
I know it shows the complexities of love and being both queer and Latina. And what did you want to show in this book that you think isn't shown enough with stories and images about being queer and Latinx?
Well, number one, I just wanted to, like, write a giggly, goofy story about a girl that kind of, like, loves herself but isn't sure what the heck is going on with her identity and what she wants to, can she be a feminist, can she be a lesbian, all these things. I wanted a goofy, nerdy story. Mm-hmm. I definitely don't think that we see that enough in media in general, unless it's, like, white guy nerds or something like that, you know, then there's room. But I just wanted something funny and soft and gentle and honest, yeah, right? And I also wanted a story about a Latina lesbian who is, one, just a regular person, and two, came from a place of support, right? Like, her parents, her mom has a weird time with it, but there's still love there. She doesn't just get thrust and thrown away. She isn't discarded. She's kept. I also wanted a story that where the identity or the sexual orientation isn't the trauma, you know, where it isn't like the source of this immense pain, where it's something fun and exciting.
So when you got the call, what was that like? What is that like when Marvel calls you and say, hey, we want you to write?
Well, it was an email.
Okay, when you got the email.
And it was all like encrypted. So, of course, I thought it was spam or like a virus. And I opened it and it was like, hello, we have read Juliet. Would you ever want to write for Marvel? Will. Like, super short.
So it's all S.H.I.E.L.D. even when it's...
Literally. You must enter the passcode.
So
you know,
like, what?
But it was wild. It was wild. It was wild. Like, take the elevator all the way down from my job's, like, 30th floor to the street in Manhattan on the phone with my mom, like, mommy... Marvel called me, and then my mom being like, "Ay, Charlie, Marvel, llamó a Gabby, ay," and then her screaming for like 40 minutes and me being like, "Hello, hello, mom."
Right, right.
But yeah, like, and that is one of like their dreams too, because my parents are, I think a lot of folks of color have old school, nerdy, sci-fi parents.
What was the difference for you writing a novel versus writing comics? Were the challenges different?
Gosh.
Like just the or just even the writing process?
I never ever in my life thought I was gonna write a comic. Like I don't draw. I didn't even read a lot of comics growing up. That's something I do more now. And so, basically, Will and Sarah Brunstad at Marvel taught me how to write a comic. That first issue of America is my first ever. Anything. My first ever comic. I had to learn how to write for panels, how to utilize panels in a way to tell a story, how to let one image tell a story, one line of dialogue. Like, it's a totally different and beautiful genre. And learning that, having that professional development from Marvel was a dream come true.
I wish this explosion happened when we were kids. But
right.
I mean, but it's happened. Why do you think now? This is happening.
Well, it's interesting, right? Because Black Panther has been around since, what, the 60s, right? And so it has taken this long, like an entire generation of a culture to be built for Black Panther, right? So I think it's like an explosion now, but also it has been cooking in that oven for a minute, you know? And so I think there's a similar vibe there with America Chavez where people just want stories that reflect the world around them.
Yeah.
And they want stories. I want stories with women. I want stories with Black, Indigenous people of color. I want stories with people that have identities I haven't even thought of yet. I want to see it all. And I think that, like, there's more folks that have more privilege and more power that are also fighting for those stories and for that diversity.
And I know you face backlash.
Oh, yes.
You
was my cackle. I did. Oh my goodness. It was so wild and unexpected and hurtful. And it almost made me not want to write comics anymore.
Oh no.
Yeah. There's a whole slew of folks. I'm not going to mention any ads or names or websites.
Yeah. Don't.
But there's a whole team of folks that made it their business to tear down everything that I did with America, make videos of it. A whole other team of folks that scoured the internet for my personal information to put it on websites and tell their followers to harass me. Mm-hmm. And just imagine, like, every negative thought you've ever had about yourself being said by other people on the internet. And so it really crushed me and scared me. And I'm glad that I have a supportive team in place, because when I was fearful for my personal safety, my roommates came through, and I lived in a Black and brown queer house. And the second I was like, I feel like I'm in danger, my roommates came home. They brought the troops with them. We sat and we held space in my apartment. They went with me to file the police reports. My agents at New Leaf Literary got on the horn with Disney and Marvel to get whatever legal protection I needed. And it was just like,
that's ridiculous that you needed all of that. Because of a comic book.
Yeah. A comic book that is, like, pretty goofy and loving.
Right.
And it's a little wacky, like, but I feel like that's what comics should be. Back to that dinner table, grandmas. America doesn't have a grandma. Let's get her a grandma. Mm-hmm. A strong luchador grandma. And let's set her up in all these ways so that she can have fun, learn about herself, and be supported by all the in all these different ways.
If America ever got a movie, who would you want to play her?
Oh my goodness. Listen, I regularly get Latina actresses sending me pictures of themselves
really?
As America Chavez, being like, when the time comes. I remember when they made the movie Selena, and they ultimately chose Jennifer Lopez, but they also had, like, a nationwide search.
Right, I remember that, too.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing that as a kid, thinking that was so cool. And so I think that would have to be the thing for America Chavez. Mm-hmm. Like, let's put it out into the world and have America, like, show up and be just a regular girl from around the way, you know?
That was writer Gabby Rivera of the Marvel Comics series America, speaking with KALW's Janae Darden. Mm-hmm.